Another wild finish for the Falcons, but they fall short to the Commanders in a 19-13 loss. We're going to be talking about Arthur Smith's play calling, the defense, and if the Falcons' playoff hopes are dead, all on today's Rapid Reaction here on Locked On Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and a.k.a. your very humble host here of your Locked On Falcons podcast, this illustrious podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and of course, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube, and you'll get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So for those of you guys watching on YouTube, of course, you're seeing me still at my folks' place during the Thanksgiving weekend. And so I apologize because, you know, I'm in a different environment. If the audio is a little wonkier on today's episode than usual, I apologize in advance. But let's sort of kick off, you know, this wonky episode by talking about another wonky day for the Falcons and really starting things off with those sort of final 4 minutes of this game that really kind of decided this game. And the Falcons got a chance, got the ball back late, down 19-13. Marcus Mariota makes an incredible play, avoids a sack, his knee touches, but he doesn't get touched down, gets back up. It always seems like Marcus Mariota makes these crazy plays where he falls down and then gets back up. But his knee touches, gets back up. I guess Washington gave up on the play because they thought it was a sack because that he hits Alameda Zacchaeus and he basically sprints untouched, I don't know, like 20, 30 yards for a 44-yard catch to get the Falcons down to the Commanders' 25-yard line. Then the Falcons go, you know, ground and pound. You know, you dance with the girl that brought you. They run the football 7 straight times. They get the ball down to the 2-yard line, then they run it on the 7th play. It's a Mariota keeper. They lose 2 yards on that one. And then on 2nd and goal from the 4-yard line, the Falcons decide, you know what, we've run the ball just enough at this point in time. Let's throw the ball. And the ball is tipped by Daron Payne. It's picked off in the end zone by Kendall Fuller. And it seems like the game is over. I think there's maybe 1:09 left in the game at that point in time. And you're like, okay, well, Washington just basically needs to run the ball out, get a first down, game's over. Well, of course, Washington runs the ball, but the Falcons defense steps up, gets a stop, force a 3-and-out. It's like 44 seconds left. They're punting the ball back. You're thinking, okay, you know, their chances of winning this game are slim, but they still got a chance. They're still alive here. And then, of course, Adi Ogundeji, they go all out for a punt block. Adi Ogundeji winds up running into Commanders punter Tressway's plant leg. It's a running into the kicker penalty. Washington gets a first down. They kneel the ball. Game's over. Victory formation, all that and more. So the big question, you know, from a lot of folks, you know, coming off the heels of the game was questioning that play call from Arthur Smith in those closing minutes. The decision to throw the football in 2nd and goal rather than running the ball. You know, you're inside the 5. You've been running the ball effectively all game long, and the Falcons chose not to do that. And frankly, from my perspective, I don't really have a problem with the decision to throw the ball, right? Theoretically, on paper, whatever you want to say, right? You have basically on 2nd and goal, it's goal to go, you know, you've got 3 chances. You got 2nd, 3rd, 4th down to score on this. You're going to go for it on 4th down if you get stopped on the next 2 plays. And, you know, with 3 plays, I understand the decision to throw the ball at least early on because you don't want the game, you know, you don't want to run it again, I know some people will disagree with this, but you don't want to run it two times and then be forced on fourth and goal at the two to put the ball into your quarterback's hand. So if you're going to take a chance at throwing the ball on any one of these three plays, you know, that second and goal is probably the correct time to do it. But of course, it's going to lead to second guessing, as all things do when it comes to these things, when it comes down to, you know, a final play. And, you know, it, to me, it wasn't really a bad play call. You just, defender got a hand on it, and the other defender was in the right place at the wrong time for the Falcons, but the right time for the Commanders. So frankly, for me, I don't feel compelled like some other people to criticize Arthur Smith's play calling, right? I don't think that's really an instance where I feel, you know, like you can nitpick, you can second guess, you can do all that, say hindsight, all that stuff. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with Mariota's throw in that situation or his performance throughout this game. It was a pretty typical Marcus Mariota performance. But, you know, there is a part of me. If I am going to go conspiracy theory, galaxy brain sort of thinking here after the game, part of me does wonder a little bit, you know, does Arthur Smith call that pass because he wants Marcus Mariota to throw the game-winning touchdown and silence all the criticism he's gotten and Mariota's gotten over the last, you know, month or so from his decision to stay loyal to Marcus Mariota. And certainly you can say in this instance, it kind of came back and bit the Falcons in the butt. But then again, part of me kind of wanted them to throw the ball in that situation because I started Drake London in my fantasy football team today for the first time this season. And I thought he would have a big game against the suspect Commander secondary. He did not. And I wanted him to get that touchdown to justify my decision to start him. And that was not the case. London did have a nice catch earlier in the game on a 22-yard play. That was a poor throw from Lariota. Could have gone for a bigger gain. He did have a bad drop on the second possession on third down on the screen pass. You know, I know part of the questioning of Arthur Smith's play calling not only is from the final plays, but earlier in the game, in the second quarter, the Falcons went for it on a fourth and one in their own territory. And basically his decision to let the clock run down late in the second quarter because he didn't want to give Washington the ball back before halftime with plenty of time to score. So he ran the clock down, called a timeout, and then went for it on fourth down. They handed the ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson. He was stuffed in the line. Again, I don't have a problem with that play call. I don't have a problem with the Falcons' clock management. Again, maybe you do, but I personally don't. So sound off in the comments why you think it was a bad play call or why it was a questionable decision. You know, enlighten me. Tell me why I'm wrong on this situation. But I get it in this instance, you know, I think you can certainly, again, you can second guess it and say, okay, maybe you run a QB sneak on that situation. But I understand if Arthur Smith's reluctant to run QB sneaks, given, you know, the fact that last year he basically refused to run any QB sneaks. So we just kind of know he doesn't really like running QB sneaks. And then you couple that with the fact that the Falcons have had many questionable exchanges, right? Poor snapping, questionable exchanges. So I understand maybe his reluctance and his hesitance to want to run it in that situation. So overall, it was kind of a rough day for the offense. Again, whether you want to blame that on Smith's play calling, Mariota's performance, or just simply, hey, Washington has a pretty good defense. I do think that's probably more the latter. I think you need to give Washington some credit here in this instance. They did start very strong on their opening drive, but then things kind of stalled for them. They settled for 3 points. Mariota's running was effective in this game. He did finish the game with 49 yards rushing on 6 carries. Washington did eventually kind of figure out the runs. The 6th run that he had was that 2-yard loss when the Falcons were down at the 2 in the final minute. So Washington's defense made the critical adjustment at the critical moment to get that stop. They did get a touchdown on offense. Their lone touchdown was at the beginning of the second quarter on a tight end leak to Michael Pruitt. It's nice to see the Falcons involving the tight end leak back in their offense, and certainly without Kyle Pitts. You need to sort of scheme opportunities for your tight end. So, again, I think that's positive in Arthur Smith's hat in this instance. But, you know, it was nice to see the Falcons' running game get going in this game against a very good Washington run defense. It worked until basically it didn't, right? Washington did seem to sort of stymie their running game a little bit better in the second half. But the real key for Washington and why I think they were able to win this game was their ability to control the clock, right? They did this very effectively 2 weeks ago when they upset Philadelphia on Monday Night Football and handed the Eagles their first loss of the season, dominating time of possession in that game. And you look at the final tally, you say, okay, well, Washington held the ball 33 minutes to the Falcons 27 minutes. That's not as huge a deal, Aaron, as you know you seem to be saying. But then when you look in the second half specifically, it was like 20 minutes to like 10 minutes, or I think it was like 19 and a half to 10 and a half minutes in the second half. And that really sort of prevented the Falcons offense from getting into really any rhythm in this game. And the reason why Washington was able to dominate that time of possession and dominate possession was due to Brian Robinson's running. He had a great day in this game, and we'll talk about the defense as we continue today's episode, talk about some of the struggles, but some of the positives from the defense and some of the concerns moving forward with this Falcons defense as we continue today's episode, guys. But before we get there, I want to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a new slate of football podcasts, and we're sure you're going to love them all. Check out Block Forever, a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. I remember Ryan Khalil when he was playing for the Carolina Panthers. He was always nailing Curtis Lofton on those second-level blocks back in the day, and now he's taking the football conversation to that second level, to the next level. So get the inside look into the game through the eyes of some of the greats. Ryan's going to sit down with star players, coaches, former pros from across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes, inside the locker room, during team meetings, and even back at the hotel. New episodes of Block Forever will be released every week ahead of Thursday Night Football, available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcast. Audible, get in the game. And guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. And of course, for your second listen, you got to check out Locked On Sports Today. Go behind the scenes from the local experts and get the insights that only Locked On can provide by subscribing to Locked On Sports Today, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. So let's talk about the Falcons defense. They weren't great in this game. Brian Robinson absolutely ran it down their throat, 18 carries for 105 yards in this game. Washington had well over 100 yards. You saw Jonathan Williams get into the mix late in this game. Antonio Gibson was effective running the football. But the Falcons defense, despite struggling for most of this game, did get some stops late in the game, forcing three and outs on back-to-back drives in the final 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, giving the offense the ball back to give them multiple opportunities potentially to win it. Of course, the offense didn't take advantage of it, and of course, the special teams screwed them in the end with that second three and out stop coming on that, you know, running into the kicker penalty from Ade Ogundeji. But when you look at the overall sort of picture, despite some of the ups and downs, you know, the fact that the Falcons defense only gave them 19 points in this game, you know, they were missing Taquan Graham, which was a big part of why Washington was so effective running the football. You know, I think a lot of it is a lot more forgivable. And then you also factor in that, you know, the other thing that we talked about leading into this game and this matchup on the crossover Thursday with David Harrison of Locked On Commanders was, you know, key matchup was A.J. Terrell versus Terry McLaurin, right? And A.J. Terrell, you know, basically kept Terry McLaurin really in check in this game, right? McLaurin did finish with four catches for 48 yards, had a 26-yard play on a crosser, I think, on the opening play, but A.J. Terrell was not covering him on that game. But then after that play, Terry McLaurin was pretty quiet. Next Gen Stats put out a tweet after the game that they charted Terrell lined up over Terry McLaurin on 14 of 19 routes, about 74% of the time. And on those plays, you know, A.J. Terrell only gave up one catch on two targets for 3 yards, right? So it was a great day for A.J. Terrell, a nice bounce back game, had nearly an interception on one play in the game. But the ball kind of hit the he trapped the ball on the ground, so it didn't count. But it was a critical stop in a sort of a third and long situation on a deep comeback. So it was a great play by A.J. Terrell there. So a great day for A.J. Terrell. I count that as a win, right? The two matchups I was worried about in this game were Brian Robinson, Terry McLaurin. A.J. Terrell was basically able, from all we can tell, to take Terry McLaurin out of the matchup. And so it was basically all on Brian Robinson. But of course, due to the absence of Taquan Graham, the Falcons' run defense was not asked out. We did see a lot of Jaleel Johnson, who the Falcons just elevated or just claimed off of waivers last week to fill the shoes of Taquan Graham this week. He made his debut, had a couple of plays here or there. But speaking of Taquan Graham's injury, there was another injury in this game that we are going to have to keep a monitor on over the next couple of days. It's going to be Arnold Ebiketie. He had a very good day, had a couple of pressures, a quarterback hit early on in this game, but then exited the game around the second quarter with a forearm injury. He was spotted by folks in the press box with a wrap on his forearm. after halftime. And so, of course, the concern is going to be, did he break his forearm, right? Now, I would imagine that people would have recognized that he was in a cast rather than a wrap, you know, and that would have been spotted if he had broken his forearm and would have been in a sling of some sorts in that situation. So it does seem like maybe, you know, maybe it's a contusion or something like that rather than a broken arm or something like that. So we'll be hopeful, optimistic that this isn't a long-term injury. This isn't ending Arnold Ebiketie's season, because that's what a broken arm would almost certainly do. Or, you know, maybe they could put a cast on it and he could play with a club or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But hopefully, you know, this is not a long-term injury for Arnold Ebiketie, because we've talked about Arnold Ebiketie several times this year about the potential that he's coming into zone. He's coming off a pretty good game last week. We talked a little bit about him and the flashes he showed in that All-22 review from last week's win against the Bears, and he had another good day in the first half of this game. So that would be another big blow to this Falcons defense, losing a young player that may not, certainly has not reached his full potential, but like Taquan Graham, starting to come into his own. So we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. But, you know, to wrap up about the defense, I know a lot of people are going to be quick to criticize the defense, as they often are. I'm not in particular. Again, similar to the conversation with the play calling criticisms, just, you know, I don't really see, it's not something to me that's worth, you know, crying about, basically. No offense to anybody, but, like, you know, if you feel like you need to complain about it, then go ahead, do you. You're just not going to hear me talking too bad about these things on this podcast at the very least. So, you know, for me, a lot of it is due to probably having lower expectations with the defense than you, and just basically like, okay, well, I have low expectations. They're meeting those expectations, so I don't feel the need to complain about it. You know, as I said earlier, I did expect Brian Robinson to feast against what has been a very poor run defense all year long. And I think Brian Robinson, you know, I was a huge fan of him. I really wanted the Falcons to draft him. It's part of the reason probably why I was not as high on the Tyler Allgeier pick, because I'm like, man, you know, Brian Robinson would have been a home run. But to Tyler Allgeier's credit, he did play really well in this game. He's played really well over the last couple of weeks. So it's nice to see him sort of redeem himself, at least in my pre-draft eyes or post-draft eyes in that instance. But as I said, like, Robinson and McLaurin were the two guys you needed to stop. We stopped McLaurin. I did not expect them to stop Robinson, you know, so stopping one of those guys to me is a win for this defense. Stopping both seemed like an impossible task, you know, and as long as they check one of those two boxes, I count that as a positive. And the box that they didn't check was the box that needed the team to have a good front seven, which they don't have. We know that they don't have. So again, going back to those expectations, like, what do you really expect in that? Dean Pease can't wave a magic wand and magically, you know, give this team a really good front seven. That's something that we're going to just have to work towards building. You know, hopefully this offseason we'll make the investments so that we will not be having these low expectations a year from now. But at this point in time, again, what are you expecting out of the Falcons? So, again, you give up 19 points, you know, you should win that game, right? You know, I think most people would have said, hey, we only give up 19 points. We should win this game, especially when you have a quote-unquote top five offense, right? And we talked about this a little bit on Friday's episode, that top five scoring mark, which I'm sure will take a hit this week, it was a little misleading because the offense is closer to league average. And in this game, they looked much closer to league average than they had before. So to me, when I look at this game, I don't have that many criticisms for the defense. It's mostly on the offense. And again, I don't blame that on play calling or the quarterback in this instance. I know, rare instance for the five of you that, you know, think I'm the biggest Mariota hater in the world, that I'm not blaming this loss on Marcus Mariota. We barely talked about Marcus Mariota. Probably the only podcast we're going to barely talk about Marcus Mariota. I thought he was fine, solid, was able to make plays with his legs. And no complaints about Marcus Mariota's performance in this game. He missed some throws, but again, what do you expect from Marcus Mariota other than him to miss a couple of throws? So no big deal to me. Fine performance from him. So it just basically, the Falcons just didn't make the plays that they needed to make to win the game. That's basically it. And Washington did. So, you know, if you're going to be a playoff team, you kind of need to make those plays. And so we kind of need the offense to be better overall, you know, in order for the Falcons to win games moving forward, to be that playoff team. And so, you know, we'll talk about that as we wrap up today's episode, talking about, you know, sort of, are their playoff chances dead now that their record falls to 5-7? And we'll get into that as we continue today's episode. But now I want to tell you about our sponsor, Prize Picks, a fun new way to play daily fantasy. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, You will win up to 10 times the money on your entry, and it takes less than 60 seconds to enter at Prize Picks. And the great thing is you're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections, and whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college football, so much more. Prize Picks is safe, it's fast, it's easy. It's currently in operation in over 30 states in the U.S. and Canada. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That means if you deposit $100, you get $100 to play with. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. And guys, I want to let you know that Locked On Falcons is also available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV as part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Get that same great local sports coverage 24/7 for free by downloading the Locked On Sports Atlanta app, now available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So the Falcons playoff hopes, it's not over, right? But, you know, I'm not sure how many more NFC games the Falcons can afford to lose moving forward. I think the answer is zero. Right now, Tampa Bay did lose to Cleveland today. So Tampa Bay is still in first place at 5-6. But now all the teams in the NFC South, and as I'm recording this, the Saints game is not decided yet against the 49ers. But regardless of how that game winds up, every team in the NFC South is going to be basically within a game of being in first place. And so, you know, that includes the Falcons. They still have some control over their destiny, but they're going to have to start winning games. Right. And they're going to have to beat the Steelers. Right. And that's going to matter. But beating the Steelers is not going to matter as much for the tiebreakers that I'm sure will play a part, as they always do, because they're an AFC team as opposed to an NFC team, because you want to get those conference wins and those divisional wins and all those various things are going to help you in those tiebreakers. I know 538 as of, you know, midway through the 4 o'clock games has the Falcons playoff chances at about 16%. As I'm recording this, if the Saints do wind up losing to the 49ers, and then next week the Falcons beat the Steelers and the Bucs also lose to the Saints, then you will have the Falcons playoff chances basically double, according to 538, and be at 31%. And I just checked the score as I was saying that, and the 49ers are up 10-0, at halftime. So that's a positive sign for the Falcons, but it's kind of two must-win games coming up for the Falcons. Pittsburgh before the bye and then New Orleans after the bye. They have to win these two games. If they lose either one of these games, again, they probably won't be mathematically eliminated because the NFC is so terrible that I don't even know if any team is going to get eliminated. Like, I think the Bears could lose their next three games and still technically have a chance of making the playoffs going into the final couple of weeks of the season. That's how bad the NFC is. So they're never probably ever at this point in time going to be mathematically eliminated. But to me, at a point, you know, when their odds drop below 10%, that's pretty much when they're done, right? So if they lose next week, you're going to have those odds drop to under 10%, right? I think 538 puts it at like 6% or something like that. Or even, you know, and if they lose, and then I think if the Saints and Bucks win, or no, who knows? Then it's like 2% or something like that. I don't know the numbers. Go play around with their numbers at 538.com, and I'm sure we'll give you guys an update later this week when Football Outsiders puts their numbers out there. But basically, if they lose next week to the Steelers, I think the only chance they would have to make the playoffs is if they ran the table against the Saints, the Ravens, the Cardinals, and the Bucks, and basically, like, you know, 8-9 might still win the NFC South. That's how bad the NFC South is. Right, it probably will win the NFC South if we're being completely honest. But I think 9-8 is really going to give you the best shot, whether you're the Falcons, the Bucks, the Saints, or the Panthers. All of that is within reach for all of those teams as we continue this season. And so I remember telling people a week ago at the symposiums we do on the Discord, I was talking about, you know, the only games I really care about is they got to beat the Bucks, they got to beat the Saints. You know, every other game, like, you know, obviously I want them to win, but frankly, like, you know, my life doesn't depend on it. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to get mad at the Falcons if they lose to the Steelers or whatever. I'm just like, oh, this Falcons choking again. Like, you know, I'm used to it, guys. I've been a Falcon fan for 30 years. But I do want to see them beat the Saints because they're the Saints. And it's the Dennis Allen Saints. And, like, he may be a one-and-done coach, and it'll be embarrassing for us to get swept by the Saints. by a one and done coach, basically a coach, you know, like that's embarrassing. Like the Saints will hold that over us at least for the next 12 months. And nobody wants that, right? I don't want that. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. So they got to beat that. They got to win that game. And then they have to beat the Bucs, right? They have to beat Tom Brady, guys. Like how many opportunities we get? Again, Tom Brady may keep playing after the season, you know, now that Giselle's left him, or he'll decide to retire and then try to win her back. From, you know, whatever, you know, Brazilian model that she's now dating or whatever, or Antonio Brown. I don't know. You guys probably follow Todd Bowles a little bit more than I do. But, you know, they got to beat Tom Brady, right? And again, he might come back next year, but you don't know that. So you got to get that win in week 18, right? You got to get that win in week 18. We cannot let this season end being with Tom Brady still being undefeated against the Falcons. We cannot let the season end with the Falcons losing twice to the Saints. Every other game, again, obviously, I want the Falcons to win, but frankly, like, I don't really care about the rest of it. So as long as this team goes 7-10 at the very least and gets those two wins, I'm happy. You know, every other win after that point is gravy, is awesome. We're all going to be rooting for it, etc. But, you know, my life is not going to depend on it, right? My emotional well-being will not depend on the Falcons winning the other game. But I obviously want them to. I want them to keep things moving forward. Let me know sort of what are your must-win sort of situations, right? You know, are you going to be able to emotionally and psychologically handle a loss to the Steelers, or is it all about the Saints? Is it all about Tom Brady? Let me know in the comments below, guys. Of course, you can hit me up if you have your feedback to anything I had to say on today's episode, anything you disagree or agree with me. Of course, you can hit me up in the comments below here on Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. You can hit me up in the Discord at Locked On Falcons. The link is in the description below. Of course, on Twitter, Facebook, Locked On Falcons is the place to go on those places. And, of course, you can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com. That's mail.com. So guys, that's going to do it for us here on this rapid reaction. Another disappointing loss. You know, I'm not distraught, emotionally distraught about it. You know, Falcon's going to Falcon, right? Like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, you know, it is what it is. I know it's a know nothing statement when people say it is what it is, but like, it is what it is. What else are you going to do as a Falcon, man? We're used to this at this point in time. So, yeah, we'll see if they can bounce back next week against the Steelers and defeat my boy Kenny Pickett. Pitt legend, and you know, TJ Watt, good grief, McGarry Allen's gonna be tough that week. So we'll see if the Falcons can sort of circle the wagons and get things back on track for them, or if this is basically the death knell of this 2022 season. And of course, we'll have you covered all week long here on Locked On Falcons as your first listen. And always make sure Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Sports Today, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs is always your second listen as well. And of course, check out Peacock and Williamson and Locked On NFL all week long to get the scoop on the other 31 NFL teams this week. So guys, really appreciate it. Till then.